This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
It is Priti Ngwenya on your airwaves, standing in for Ugamelihle together with Gamelihle Bovane and Karabo Asala on the COVID report. All right, so there have been a few treatments that have been demonstrated to reduce the burden of morbidity and mortality from COVID-19. Now, we do have Professor Vini Naidu on the line. Professor Vini Naidu is the Dean of the Faculty of Veterinary Science at the University of Pretoria. Professor Vini, welcome to Area Code and thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me on.
All right, so just to begin, we are having a conversation about ivermectin. And when can taking ivermectin be unsafe, maybe? Because we just wrapped up a conversation, obviously elaborating on what it is. And when is it unsafe to use it?
Well, if you look at the drug, it's designed as an antiparasitic, so it's meant to be for infrequent use. So if you take it daily or at very high doses, it can have quite severe side effects. And there have been reports in people where people have taken multiple doses over 3 to 5 days and they have put quite severe neurological signs. And at times, some people have ended up in ICU needing to be on a respirator.
Now, when it comes to ivermectin, can ivermectin be used for treatment or prevention of COVID-19 in people and as well as animals?
It's both very interesting questions. So if you look at the laboratory data, and this was one study done overseas, they cultured the COVID virus in the lab and exposed it to high concentrations of ivermectin for 2 whole days. And under those conditions, it showed an ability to inhibit the virus. However, all the clinical studies so far have had questionable results. And in the last meta-analysis study, which came out a few months ago, says that there is absolutely no benefit for using ivermectin in patients. There was no decrease in clinical signs, no decrease in deaths recorded, and no change in time required for recovery.
Now, you just mentioned that, you know, of all the people that have used ivermectin, there has been questionable results when it comes to them. And just wrapped up a conversation with Dr. Tiny Mhinga, who also echoed the fact that from her side personally, it is something that she would never suggest or recommend to a patient. Now, should ivermectin be used in patients with COVID-19 unless it is in a research setting or a part of a clinical trial?
So I maintain that the drug shouldn't be used because it has no proven efficacy. And what people mistake is a lot of things work in the lab, but there's a lot of processes involved from getting a drug from a tablet or something you take to being effective in the body. So without that data, it's almost impossible to say this product is going to work. And looking at how it works, it's the mathematics of its movement in the body, I can't see it ever working. It just cannot achieve those concentrations. So people who are taking the drug will make themselves feel better because they believe they're doing something positive. But in reality, I don't think they're actually receiving any effective treatment. And they certainly will not prevent themselves from getting COVID.
And as you are advocating for the very same thing, saying that it's something that you wouldn't recommend, was there a study or maybe an investigation that was done to determine if ivermectin is successful at treating COVID-19 as people have used it so harshly to treat COVID-19?
So, if you look at some of the groundbreaking studies, so there was a meta-analysis that came out of the UK. And what they did was they pooled all the smaller studies done around the world to try and get to a statistical design. And that showed that there was potential for this product to be effective. However, one of the major studies, which had 400 patients and accounted for 15% of their study results, has just been pulled as being a fake study. They found that patient numbers were duplicated. Some of the papers were from other articles, making people wonder whether it was right. Raw data was transcribed incorrectly, and some of the patients were even dead before the start of the study. So that study eventually was pulled, and the meta-analysis was revoked as not being conclusive. And this new meta-analysis that was done by McMaster University in Canada shows that there's no benefit from ivermectin.
Now, Professor, when we're looking at ivermectin, a new and experimental drug with an unknown safety profile, or there are many more drugs that undergo a similar thing?
So at the moment, there are a number of drugs under investigation. So everybody is looking for that one drug that will have an effect. At the moment, our best drugs seem to be our antivirals that are on the market. And this is where the new drug from Merck seems to offer really good treatment. It actually decreases clinical signs in patients with mild to moderate COVID by up to 50%.
You know, I've also been hearing that people are taking ivermectin once a week and with no particular reason behind it, from my knowledge. What are some of the clinical side effects of ivermectin with an overdose? When you're looking at someone who's using it once a week, for me, maybe I would categorize it as an overdose. Not that it is my professional opinion, but just understanding the dangers and the conversation that we are having. What are some of the clinical side effects of ivermectin overdose?
So you're quite right. So taking it once a week will likely result in an overdose. So realistically, you shouldn't take it more than once a month. And there's a number of scenarios. The first is, what formulation are you taking? Now, a lot of people have resorted to taking the cattle drug. Now, the cattle drug is obviously not designed for people, so we don't actually know what exposure you will get. Secondly, you get two cattle formulations, one that is at a very high dose because it's meant to last a long time in the cattle's body. So you give yourself excessive concentrations thereby. Then other than that, you have the general side effects of the drug. So in most cases, it is gastrointestinal side effects. So you'll end up with nausea, vomiting, a runny tummy. You can end up with skin rashes. And in the more severe cases, it has the exact same effect it has on the parasite, where it causes paralysis of the nervous system. So you end up with incoordination and inability to move. You can end up in a coma, and that's when you have to be in an ICU on a ventilator because you're unable to breathe for yourself. As an example, we see overdoses in dogs, not too frequently, thankfully, but in these animals, they are under full veterinary support and a lot of them don't recover because their lungs never recover from that respiratory paralysis.
Now, do you think, you know, looking at the increase of the demand when it comes to this particular drug, has it enhanced scrutiny from our pharmacists and has caused shortages of veterinary formulations of the drug?
So at the beginning of the year, we saw a massive shortage of ivermectin. In fact, you could walk into any farm shop in the country and the drug was just not on the shelf. It was a very cheap product. We're looking at a few rands per mil for the veterinary use, and people started selling it at about 100 rand a mil at the peak of the COVID in January. And as a result, there was a massive black market sale in it. As people got more familiar with the product and realized that it probably wasn't affected, you see that trend has now decreased, and we're back to the place where we have ivermectin being available for veterinary use again.
And just as we wrap up the conversation, maybe if we could just look at some of the conspiracy theories when it comes to ivermectin that people normally use to cover-ups.
So at the moment, I think the concern with the vaccine is what's driving the use of ivermectin. People are of the belief that this is a well-known medical drug. It's well-known a veterinary drug. It's been used for over 30 years. So it's relatively safer. Because of its wide-scale availability, people would trust in the drug. However, that unfortunately has created a further misbelief that this drug could be effective. The other problem you have, and you're seeing a lot of this in, say, South America, is the drug is very cheap and hospital care is relatively very expensive. So people were of the opinion that people were trying to hide the drug to make more profits from having people go to a doctor to get advanced care. And this created this misbelief in the healthcare systems. So unfortunately, in this case, the fake news is that use ivermectin, it's cheap, it's effective, it's because doctors want to take advantage of you. And I don't think that there'll be any doctor in the world that would want to take advantage of you in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think just once again, Professor, before I let you go, just to reiterate on your side, when it comes to your professional opinion, can oral ivermectin be used to prevent or treat COVID-19 infection?
Based on how the drug works and the dose required, I cannot see this drug ever reaching high enough concentrations in the body to kill off the virus.
No, thank you very much, Professor, for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1. 88.1. Or stream via www.vofm.co.za.